How's my sound? Do I sound okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. Just the most ridiculous timing. Like as soon as I sit down and plug in my microphone, someone in my neighborhood started mowing their lawn. Might be my neighbor. He's kind of obsessed with mowing his lawn. And he always mows the day after we mow too. Like, I think he wants to keep up with the level that we're at.
Are you an aggressive lawnmower? And that's why he's...
Well, no, I actually pay a guy to mow my lawn because I'm not a real man. But anyway, so then our guy mows, and then he mows always same day or the next day. Although sometimes he mows like three times a week anyway. Like, I don't know what it is. You gotta have a hobby, I guess.
Sure.
But anyway, let's do this. You're listening to Dadsplaining, a weekly or semi-weekly chronicle of all the weirdest, messiest, grossest, and funniest parts of fatherhood, hosted by two young, clueless dads. Notice that I switched the intro around a little bit because one of us is no longer a first-time dad. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Brandon.
And this week, for the first time in a month, Brandon and I are getting back together on the podcast to catch up and see what is new in Brandon's parenting world, my parenting world, and all the things that you forget about after you get out of the newborn phase. Well, Brandon is right back in it and catching all of it again. So we're going to see what's going on there. But before we do, Brandon, if you could let our listeners know, if they would like to reach out to us, connect with us online, where can they find us?
Please give us a like or a follow on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Dadsplaining Podcast. You can email us directly at dadsplainingpodcast@gmail.com. And then you can check out this and every episode anywhere you get your podcasts.
That's right. We also have a Facebook group for parents of all gender, shapes, and sizes. Just search for Dadsplaining, a parenting group, and send us a join request. We would love to have you. And follow us on Facebook. We occasionally record our episodes over Facebook Live. We haven't done that in a while because we're kind of rusty, as you can probably tell. But when we do, you can see our beautiful smiling faces as we record the podcast. I'm just going to dive right into it, Brandon. I haven't seen you since the end of May. You and I got together with our wives, with our children, and we had a really fun day out, and we got to meet Paige, your newborn, for the first time. But of course, she's no longer a newborn. How old is Paige now?
We have just crossed over the 2 weeks mark. Now we're, or 2 months. Wow. See? See?
Yeah. Time flies when you're not sleeping.
2 months. Yeah. So yeah, we're 2 months and half a week beyond that. So like eight and a half weeks. You know, the weeks and the months don't really line up that cleanly with four weeks per month, but yeah, there we are. And things are just rocking and rolling. Some things are better. Some things are worse. Mm-hmm. Welcome to parenting.
Right.
Yeah. I think, the biggest thing we're dealing with right now, and kind of what I'll probably talk about a little bit, is just the incessant crying, just for no reason whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that can go into it, and there's a lot of it that could be absolutely nothing. Hmm. But babies, I don't know if you know this, Jesse, babies are prone to crying.
I've heard that.
Yes, yes. You may have blocked all the memory out of the early days. I know I definitely have. I think what's most interesting, or just saddest, is that even though I've been through it before, I just don't really recall the gruesome details anymore.
Yeah, well, it all kind of muddles together into like a soup in my memory because my brain's kind of a soup now anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, it makes sense that you would remember and store a memory of something positive, something nice.
Oh yeah.
The first smile, the steps, the talking. But you know what you're not going to store in your mind? You know what you're not going to save in that long-term memory bank with excruciating detail is every night that you stayed up where your kid was crying and you had no idea why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just not something that you lock away and you just keep to yourself, even though at the moment you might realize this is interesting information and I should probably keep it for my future self.
This might be useful.
You don't want to remember that awful, awful night, or in most cases, several nights in a row. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, just torturous screaming, even when you figure it out, because then you're just so happy that it's over.
Yeah.
You know, you don't store that for, say, like 4 years in between children, so that when it comes back around, you're just sitting there like a doofus.
Uh-huh.
And like, what am I doing?
Babies
cry, right? This is normal. What do I do about this? I think the best thing that I've done in terms of caring for information from one kid to the next is just being like, I guess I'll go ask the doctor.
I mean, yeah,
because we talked about this at the time, and one of our big takeaways with anything kind of health related or just unknownness about a baby is just ask, because most of the time there's not an answer. And so the best thing you can do is just ask, and hopefully there is an answer. That's great.
Yeah.
When there's an answer, that's fantastic. So you can do something about it. Sometimes door number two, there is an answer, but the answer is you can't do anything about it. And then door number three, which is just a fresh slice of HE double hockey sticks, is when there's no answer, you can do nothing about it, and you have no information whatsoever to go off of.
Yeah.
So you'll notice that two out of the three doors just involve suffering.
Right.
Just involve continuing on. One of those two doors, you get a little info. So like there's a nice calmness to it. You get a name, or, you know, as I've found out, our daughter doesn't have, you know, hasn't been diagnosed with this, but colic is like something we've been exploring. Mm-hmm. Does she have colic? And here's the thing about colic is that it has a name to it, and you can, you know, technically diagnose it, so to speak, but yeah. It is a name with a nothing behind it.
What do you mean?
It's a colic is just babies are fussy and cry a lot, and they do it a lot, and they do it regularly, and there's no real reason behind it, and there's really nothing you can do about it.
Right. So it's just like a condition. Like it's the
kind of like a catch-all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading up on this as you tend to do at like 3 a.m.
Of course.
When you're not holding anything a crying else anyway. Baby. And yeah. You're just kind of thinking to yourself, this has to be for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not there. My wife, when she was a baby, was colicky, is what she was told, and kept her parents up all the time. And that's just kind of what it generally gets referred to, is if your baby's just crying a lot in distress, but it's not because they're hurt. It's not because, you know, they're going through something developmentally. It's not because, you know, they're hungry or diapers, you know, like there's the things you can check off. And then when you've checked it all off and your baby's still doing it, it's probably colic, which is just a fun catch all of, well, sucks being you.
Yeah.
So we're not in that stage because generally colic is for like very newborns.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Jesse kind of said, you know, my daughter is not really so much a newborn anymore. She's 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they really develop kind of it's something like colickiness very early on.
Hmm.
And we only just started experiencing kind of our version of it maybe about a week or 2 weeks ago. So when she was, you know, almost 2 months old. And so at that point, it's kind of considered like, no, it's beyond that stage. And so it's just something else or nothing. And I bring up colic because that's probably what a lot of people might think of and have heard of when it comes to just a fussy baby for no real reason.
Yeah.
Is you kind of get that term slapped on there to give it a label. But that's what we're dealing with, is some kind of, you know, flavor of it where what happens, at least for us usually, is around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, she just starts going out of nowhere. And, you know, this happens and can happen at different points in the day too. But generally your baby can just start crying for any number of reasons. So you tick off the obvious ones. You check the diaper, you try to feed. Sometimes you do combinations of both of those things multiple times, just to try. If you're breastfeeding, maybe you throw a bottle in there. We've tried that just to see if that shakes anything up. Hasn't really shaken anything up. You know, change up where they're sitting, how they're lying, who's holding them, walking around, bouncing, all kinds of things that you can try. And you go through all of that, and there's no soothing to be had just from kind of standard soothing technique. So then you're in the category of, I don't know what this is, but it just is.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're living. But I have some hope because we have found a patented set of techniques that can be yours for only $4.99. Just kidding.
Give me the free trial.
This stuff is free, folks. This is why you're a follow of our fantastic podcast. Free advice. And the reason why I don't have a problem giving it to you for free is because it probably won't work for you. and that's not to undersell our skills. But
you are very good at advertising, my friend.
Just to sell the fact that parenting is really difficult, and every kid's different and every situation is different. And so we throw out so much advice and so many ideas because maybe one of them works for you. And that's what we hope. That's what we hope, is that anything and everything that you can try, we just want to give you things to try because something will probably work. A lot of it probably won't work. And you just need one thing to work one time. And it's so nice to have a quiet evening.
Yeah.
So baby's getting fussy. Even though I know this has happened multiple days, we always start with the usual suspects, like I mentioned, and just try to soothe because you never know, maybe it works. And you don't try anything too drastic. You just try the usual methods. And like sometimes I can put her in a little bouncer chair and bounce her, combo with passy and do bouncing and passy constantly.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe that works. Doesn't work that often, but sometimes it does. And so I've been researching other things that I could try, other ways to do it. And one idea that I found, which has been working pretty well for us, is white noise.
Uh-huh.
So this is something that probably sounds familiar if you, you know, got a kid or been thinking, you know, thinking about it, and you've just heard people talk about how they use white noise machines for sleeping.
Yeah.
Well, here's the kicker. You could use it any old time. Doesn't have to be used when they're sleeping or trying to sleep. It makes sense because it soothes them, right? But that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to soothe them.
Uh-huh.
And so the way it was kind of described, and just so you guys know, my amazing resources are not any more amazing than yours. I'm Googling this information, and I believe I got it off of like the National Health Services website for the United Kingdom, of all things, because it was the first link that came up that wasn't WebMD, because that's just a different situation. So they said that, white noise, because it can, if nothing else, it can distract them.
Mm.
So just think about like the noise coming on disrupts their crying.
Right.
And at a minimum, that kind of like breaks the chain. They focus on the noise instead of the crying.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like an immediate hopeful impact there where they kind of stop and just kind of listen in.
Yeah.
And then the hope is that they like it and it soothes them, which is the goal, right? It's meant to kind of calm them and soothe them. And so that's been working pretty well for us because the one time I tried it on the second night, because guys, by the time you get to the second night, you're going to do anything.
Yeah.
You do not want to repeat a bad night. No matter what, you're going to go down swinging on night two. And just a side piece of advice, you go ahead and throw the kitchen sink at it by night two. Don't wait for night three. That's a rookie's mistake. That's a first time parent mistake is thinking because you will the first time through, you'll think, well, it was only one night. That's a one-off, right?
There's no way this will happen again.
You wait to see if it repeats. And then when it repeats, you're like on night three, you're like, okay, it's a pattern now. Don't wait for it to become a pattern.
Yeah.
Just assume the worst because as soon as it starts developing on the second night, you need to be ready with some new ideas. You can't just come back at it with the same old soothing techniques. Try them because you never know, they might work, but bring some new ideas. So the new idea noise machine, or just, if you don't have a noise machine, this is what's beautiful about society now and innovation is I just looked up a white noise playlist on Spotify and there's a bunch of them. So I'm just holding my phone next to my baby and I turn on the white noise playlist and just sounds of ocean waves come out of nowhere.
Right.
And she just like stops.
Uh-huh.
She's like, oh, what's this? Oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
And it just calm ensued.
There we go.
It was magical.
That's beautiful.
It's like the best magic trick I've ever done. I don't know what to say about it, but it was beautiful. So that's one thing that has worked really well. I'll go ahead and tell you though, these things are not foolproof and they don't work all the time. I'm sorry. I hate it. Because it exhausts me when an idea that works once and doesn't work twice.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you got something. So that second night this worked and she stopped crying and then she proceeded to not cry as long as I had the white noise on. So you better believe I had that phone open on the white noise for three hours straight.
Uh-huh.
Until she was tired and ready to go to bed.
Jeez, get your charger handy. Just leave it plugged in, let it go.
Because again, I'm not a rookie. So the thing that I'm not doing, I wasn't leaving it to chance.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to let it peter out and then like just hope she was fine.
Yeah.
I think there was a point after a few hours where she seemed alert and not upset. It's weird to say it, but you can tell a little bit like when your kid is like actually upset and when they're feeling okay.
Yeah.
And so after a few hours, we kind of let it stop. And then she kind of settled into her normal routine. So the white noise machine was the surprise hit for me, and you can use a white noise machine. A lot of the night lights have them built in as options.
Yeah.
We've got the Hatch night light, which is very common.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. Or like I said, you can just look it up online, or a playlist or anything like that. So that's good. And then the other technique, which has been successful, is taking a bath. because I think again, kind of similar, it disrupts them,
right?
Because they get in the water and that's a big change for them.
It's a state change. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big change and they kind of focus on that. And then it is still soothing as well. Bats are soothing.
Yeah.
So we've done both because the second night I had the idea to try all these things. So I actually started with the bath and it was magical. The bath, it, I think, is the most foolproof so far because every time I put her in a bath, immediately calms down and just starts enjoying the bath. And again, they don't have expressions and stuff so much at 2 months, but
yeah, like, not yet.
She just gets this like complete focus and she's just kind of like looking around and just kind of like cuddling up and just kind of hanging out in the bathtub. And if I just leave her there, and please know, I'm not putting my child in water
and then walking away
without support.
Yeah.
When she has no head control and letting her drown and walk, that's not what we're talking about here. Just so everyone's comfortable with my parenting. When we get in the tub with her and hold her, that's the key. It's just immediate. I don't know what it is about bats, but you know, so that was really nice. The challenge that happened though, is eventually, maybe I was being an idiot, I took her out of the bath. Because, you know, I just wanted to see if she had calmed down and now things had kind of reset.
Exactly.
Oh, they had not.
Oh no.
The bath was the whole thing.
Right. That was all that was keeping her together.
So then removing the bath restarted the chaos. And that's when the white noise machine element came into play. And that was a little bit easier to stay because it didn't involve sitting in the bath for hours on end.
Right.
We eventually put her back in the bathtub a second time, same night, to again, see if the bath would keep working. And it did. So this is why I said the bath, I think, is a very solid option.
Yeah.
Because even if we took her out of the bath and then she cried again, we put her back in the bath, calmed down again. So
nice.
We've had stretches where we've done multiple baths as needed, where we just sit in the bath with her for like an hour just to like really let it burn off and really let it cool down. Or where we've run the white noise machine for like 3 hours and just let that, you know, hang out, because you'll do anything for peace.
Oh yeah.
And calm. And don't be afraid to do it. There's a lot worse than sitting in a bathtub for several hours.
Yeah, exactly. If it works, it works.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been a couple of the big winners. I mean, I'll give some credit to some other common soothing tactics, like the bouncy chair. If you don't have one, highly recommend. It's a game changer, in my opinion. It was my son's favorite, you know, thing when he was a baby.
I remember you talking about this, that he loved bouncing on things, especially if you could raise his level up at all, like placing him on a couch or something to where he was almost on eye level with mom and dad.
Yeah, we've done a mix. We've been a little bit less with that so far, but like,
yeah,
you know, we'll put it on the floor and put her in it and then bounce her. And the thing about this nice on the floor is you can use your foot to bounce bounce the chair, and you don't have to have a lot of effort involved there.
Nice.
But yeah, could put it on the couch. I know it sounds weird. It's small. Can put it on the couch and bounce it. I've had her on the kitchen table while you're in the kitchen, playing in my playroom with my older son, put her on the train table.
Yeah.
You know, so it just depends. Wherever you can put them, they'll be pretty happy, but that's usually a game changer. And this is just like a basic kid toy element, you know, just like a Fisher Price bouncy chair. It's like $30. Like, this is not the Snoo. This is not the Owlet. This is not the like Halo.
Top of the line. Yeah.
Top of the line swinging.
This isn't what Gwyneth Paltrow buys for her children.
Elevated, you know, thing. Yeah. You know, those are cool. If you have a lot of money, go get one of those. If somebody gives you one, that's great. Use that.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for the easy way, that's a good one. And then something that we've tried that's new with this kid, we didn't have the first time around, is the Dock-a-Tot. I don't know if you're familiar. Yeah,
Dock-a-Tot. No, I'm not, but I love the name. That's fun to say. Dock-a-Tot.
It's very nice. Dock-a-Tot. What do you
tell me about the Dock-a-Tot?
Your Dock-a-Tot.
What's a Dock-a-Tot?
Ooh, hang on. Give me just a quick second here, Jesse. Sorry.
Sure. It's okay. Gives me time to say Dock-a-Tot again. Dock-a-Tot, Dock-a-Tot. Does whatever a Dock-a-Tot does. Dock-a-Tot. If you want to dock your tot, you can pick up a Dock-a-Tot.
Okay, sorry. I'll deal with that later. Apologies about that.
That's okay. We were just talking about the Dock-a-Tot, I think, is what you said.
The Dock-a-Tot, yep. It's called exactly what it sounds, Dock-a-Tot. That's the brand name. So it's kind of hard to explain, but it's kind of like a big pillow. and it's got a, it's like a big oval. And the inside is a space for you to lay the child flat.
Is it like a boppy?
A little bit, but it's a solid piece. So like a kind of a big oval, and then there's there's a soft cushion perimeter around the ring of the Dakotot. And then on the, you know, kind of middle side is a little bit hollowed down where it's a flat surface to lay them down. So they're laying on a flat.
I'm looking at it now. It looks like an inflatable mattress.
Yeah, they're laying flat, but there's a ring that's like a soft cushiony material. So it kind of mimics them being not, you know, swaddled slash in the womb, you know, that kind of mindset of like anything to kind of make them feel like they're comforted is the goal.
Like a pregnancy pillow almost.
Yeah, for a baby.
Yeah, for a baby.
And so it's cool. I was a little skeptical about it, but it works well. It works very well for naps.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, that's what it's kind of meant for. It's meant for sleeping. It's not successful as like a soother in my experience so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the child's crying, like I'm talking about, putting them in the Dakotot makes it worse. Usually, just because kids don't, in terms of being soothed, they don't want to sleep because they're upset.
Sleep's the enemy usually.
Yeah. They're upset. They're hyper. Yeah. They might knock themselves out by being so upset.
Yeah.
Completely lose all energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if you have a crying baby, just putting them to bed doesn't really work.
Right. The tot wants, has to want to be docked.
And so the same thing, right? So for nap time, we'll put her in the Dakotot. If she's asleep already, we can move her into the Dakotot. And then you can cover them, you know, with like a light swaddle or whatever.
Yeah.
Or wrap them and swaddle them and then put them in the Dakotot. So anyway, Dakotot's cool. Not so much for soothing, but it's a cool new piece that we've used. And so it's been, those two are like our main items that we're using right now for the little baby.
And white then, noise in the Dakotot.
And then you tack on the white noise and you tack on the bouncy chair. Those are more soothing. Bath time is soothing. And you just do whatever it takes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's two things that kind of strike me in this situation. One is how universal changing someone's environment is, or just like sensations around them. Like that works with newborns. It works with 2 month olds. Like if you've got a 2 year old having a meltdown in the middle of Whole Foods, like simply taking them outside sometimes is half the battle won in terms of calming them down. I mean, heck, it works with, I've had success with coworkers, you know, having a conflict and then just stepping outside and that resolves it. Any kind of thing like that's just, I don't know why that works so well, but like whether it's a distraction or just like soothes your brain to be in a different place, that tends to work. So that's awesome. And that's easy. You know, that's good to remember. The other thing is, you know, you said earlier, which I think is definitely true, just because something works one day doesn't mean it's going to work the next day. So like, don't get disheartened if it doesn't work every time. And I think the good news is the opposite's true as well. Like just because you try the bath and it doesn't work one night with your child, like there's no reason you should just throw that solution out the window and never try it again. Like, you know, definitely have a rotating bracket of techniques, you know, and come back to it in a couple of days if it doesn't work today, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is to get options, like I mentioned, because you never know what's going to work. You'll probably find through trial and error, your kind of go-to solutions. I mentioned like the bath and the noise machine ended up working for me.
Yep.
Maybe that's not the case for you. Maybe the bouncer works a lot better for you. Of course, there's always your good old friend, the passy. But the point is you need a roster of ideas because if one of them doesn't work, you need something else to do.
Yeah.
The enemy is just sitting there for hours, just trying the same stuff.
Yeah, that's the big mistake. That's the definition of insanity from what I've heard in cliches for years.
Yeah. And of course, if you try all the things and then you say, well, Brandon, I tried 12 things and none of them worked. So what else was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair point. But at least you had the choices and you had the options. I'll give a quick shout out to a couple other ideas that we tried that didn't work for us, but that just might work for other people. Jesse had a good one, changing the environment. So quite literally going outside is something that we saw that could potentially work. And that's a big enough change. Like, I don't know if changing rooms would make enough of a difference.
Maybe not.
Going outside is a big enough difference. So you can, and it's not cold or dark or raining or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, different environment. It's a distraction. It's a shock to the system. And then hopefully that gets them off their game where they're not just crying incessantly. Yep. So that works. to different degrees, I've tried versions of this, but massaging the baby. I haven't tried some of the techniques because I haven't necessarily had to yet, but there is such a thing as a baby massage. And there are, you know, the gist is that you really can kind of flip them over so that you're, you know, seeing the backside and you can kind of rub the back.
Yep. I think I remember that.
Very intentionally, but gently, because again, they're very fragile.
Yeah.
At a very young age. And so, you know, a back massage basically to see if that soothes them and or just kind of helps with if there's discomfort involved at all. Because it can be gas related. It can be, you know, anything like that. So yeah, massaging, going outside. Of course, I'm overlooking just the like bouncing and walking and moving. My wife in particular is very effective at a method called, I feel like it's called like the CARP effect. There's like a doctor, I want to say, named
CARP. Oh, we've talked about this on the podcast. It has been several years, but I know that name and I know we talked about this.
I just want to refer to it as CARPing because that sounds amazing. Yeah. But it's actually the four S's. And so it's the method is named after the guy, but it's the four S's, which I'm not going to remember which ones they are. But basically what you need to do, you get the child, bring them in close, tilt them to their side. So that's one of the S's. So they're not just, you're not just holding them football style, but you're kind of tilted them so they're on their side.
Yeah.
Bring them in close to you because there's like a sensation of touching and holding closely. And then there is a kind of a shaking and very careful with, I don't know if shake is the S.
I think shake is the S they tell us not to do with babies.
It's a bouncing. It's like a bouncing you would do for soothing.
Exactly.
So you're just kind of bobbing them up and down a little bit in your arms while holding them close on their side. We are not shaking the head.
No. Let's reiterate that. Do not shake your baby. We know you've already heard it, but just take it from us. Don't shake your baby.
Big no. So yeah, holding close on their side. You're kind of bouncing them a little bit.
Yep.
And then the key element is the shushing.
Yep.
Is one of the S's. So just very calmly while holding them and rubbing them and bouncing them. Shh.
Mm-hmm.
Shh. You're just constantly repeating shh over and over again. Because it's the combination of all the good stuff we've been talking about. It's the distraction by shushing audibly, as well as the kind of soothingness of hearing it over and over again. And in a sense, it kind of blends in with like the white noise aspect of they're distracted, but they're also hearing something that's repeated and becoming a pattern that they can focus on and latch onto and be soothed by.
Yeah, I'm looking at an article right now, and I'll leave this in the show notes as well. The five S's are swaddling, side/stomach positioning, like you said, shushing, the big one, swinging, and sucking, which I assume refers to a pacifier or maybe breastfeeding in the early days.
Yep. Swinging. There you go. Definitely not shaking. Swinging.
Swinging. Yeah. That's, yeah, that, the back and forth. I remember that very well.
And swaddling, which I had forgotten, but you mentioned, and at least for me, it doesn't have to be the full deal, you know, nighttime swaddle, just kind of putting a swaddle or a blanket over them, wrapping it around them again, just for soothing and comfort, is really the goal. This has worked when other things haven't worked. It's usually our last resort technique. Because it's fairly intense because you're holding the really loud screaming thing that's losing control very closely. And that's very loud and annoying and gets your anxiety up. And it just, it feels very, you know, you're holding them tight and you're, you know, you're doing the shushing and the pet, you know, it's like a battle at that point. Yeah. It's like two gladiators going at it. The baby giving you all they've got, you giving them all you've got, literally shushing them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a little intense. So that's kind of more the last resort method there. Holding a baby is wonderful. Do it all the time. Holding them when they're losing their absolute mind is not as fun.
Yeah.
But it could work.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Dr. Carp. Love the fish. Love the doctor. So that'll about do it for today's episode of Dadsplaining. Brendan, it was great catching up with you. I'm actually going to log off here and finish working for the day and go celebrate because today is my 10th anniversary with my wife. And we got a trip planned this weekend I need to prepare for. I got to call the hotel. And I tell all of you all of this because I'm going to try to take some notes on the past 10 years of being married and maybe some takeaways for y'all, you know, no matter where you are in your marriage journey, because marriage is a big part of parenting or just simply having a partner of some kind and maintaining a positive relationship with them. So we'll talk about all that next time and some other fun stuff too. But between now and then, Brandon, once again, if our listeners want to reach out to us, hit us one more time with where they can find us.
Please give us a like or a follow on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Dadsplaining Podcast. You can email us directly, dadsplainingpodcast@gmail.com. And you can check out this and every episode anywhere you get your podcasts.
Exactly. And if you enjoy the podcast, we would ask that you would please write us a review or leave us a rating on the podcasting app of your choice. It's a great way to help us expand our reach. And recommend us, you know, if you've got some other friends that are parents, new parents, let them know that they can listen to Dadsplaining. And we would love to go on this parenting adventure with them. So that'll do it for today. And until next time, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Brandon.
And hey, Brandon, you know, I realized recently that Lance is not a common name anymore, you know?
Okay.
Which is funny because back in medieval times, people were named Lance a lot.
Yes, they were.
Lance a lot.
Yep.
All right, folks, that's it for us. We'll see you next time.
The advice and opinions expressed on Dadsplaining are solely those of its hosts and guests and should not be substituted for the advice of professionals. If you have a serious concern about the health or development of your child, please consult with your pediatrician. If you're experiencing an emergency, please call 911. Don't listen to us. We're really just good for dad jokes.